3BA's Ballarat Today.
We caught up this morning with a paramedic who's been doing some amazing work for over 30 years. Darren Hodge is his name, but he's been working as an intensive care helicopter paramedic for the last 15 years and has also written a book called Life on the Line. So his life is literally dangling down the end of a cable to save others. So
it's like something out of a movie.
Well, it is, but obviously it's real. There's a lot of danger involved going down cracks and crevices and down to pick people off boats. But he launched his book and he told us some absolutely fascinating and compelling stories. And we caught up with him earlier today. Darren, such a pleasure to chat with you today.
Well, thanks very much for having me.
You certainly have one of the most unique jobs in not only Victoria but Australia and in the world. But can you describe to us what it's like when you turn up to work each day?
I'm very fortunate to have a great job. So, and part of the thing that I love about it is that there's no 2 days are the same. So we get to work early in the morning and get everything ready to go, and we simply wait for that phone to ring, and you can be out in the middle of the ocean, over the snowfields, attending car accidents, or be, you know, moving one patient from one hospital to another. So it's just that variety that's actually quite a challenge.
Quite often you're rescuing people who are very sick, they're not far from death, and I guess it's a dangerous job that you have. You're literally hanging on a cable and being winched down to the ocean, down crevices, down cliff tops. Have you ever actually almost been in danger yourself?
I think there's the interesting nature of that type of work, rescue work, is we are incredibly well trained, we have the best equipment, but there are things within that you can control, but there are things that you can't control. And yeah, there's been a few moments over the journey that have proved a little bit frightening, but the beauty of what we do is that we have the absolute best people working with, the best pilots, the best crewmen. So when these dramas and these challenges arise, those people usually respond accordingly, and we work things out.
You've written a few chapters about situations where you've rescued children. How much different is it when you've got a child's life involved?
Well, I think, you know, most of the people that I work with are all parents. So I don't think anyone likes doing jobs with children because there is that emotive nature. And the other part of it is that the reality is that we actually don't tend to many critically unwell children. So they are complicated because of size, and so all the treatments are based on weights and calculations. So it adds that emotive sort of complicating factor, and obviously the pressures of dealing with the child. I mean, they're the cases that, whilst I've highlighted them in the book, they're some of my most favourite successes, but they're also some of the most challenging and the most stressful cases that I would have done.
Tell us about the 10-year-old boy, Jordan, who was very close to losing his life.
Well, Jordan is one of the most challenging cases of my career, but he's also one of the greatest successes. So Jordan was riding a motorbike. He came in contact with a car. In fact, we believe the four-wheel drive drove over his chest. He was attended by the local paramedics, and he was in absolute dire straits. His skin was navy in colour due to the lack of oxygen in his blood. They placed a large needle in his chest to reinflate his collapsed lung, which ultimately saved his life. But his condition continued to fail, and we flew up into the Victorian High Country on night vision goggles. Exceptional pilot, exceptional crewman. And when we got there, Jordan was in deep trouble. So we just decided to place Jordan into an induced coma. That's without question the hardest thing that we would do, or the most stressful thing we would do as paramedics, particularly on a child. During that treatment, Jordan's heart rate went from 160 beats down to 17 in a few seconds. We managed to deal with that. We placed a breathing tube into his lungs, and because there was, from the blunt trauma of the car going over his chest, there's bleeding into the lungs. And when we placed the breathing tube, blood began to run out of the breathing tube. And I'd never seen that in 30 years of being a paramedic. I'd never seen that from that condition. And once again, we were able to overcome that challenge. And Jordan became the first child in Victoria to undergo a procedure called finger thoracostomy. So we make an incision in the chest wall and we stick our finger into the chest cavity. And as we take our finger out, the buildup of gas, or in Jordan's case, blood, is allowed to escape. When we did that to Jordan, 600 mils of blood came out of Jordan's chest, and it came out under great pressure. It squirted across the ambulance. 600 mils of blood when you're 10 years old is a quarter of the blood that you have in your body. Jordan went on to have his entire circulating volume of blood replaced by us in ambulance care. We carry lots of blood on the helicopter, and we used it all on Jordan. And, you know, he's his survival is testament to the resilience of a child, but it's also, you know, a great example of the system. So he got exceptional care from paramedics. A helicopter was available. We got there. We had the tools and the technology to stabilise him and get him to the Royal Children's Hospital, where ultimately that's where the life-saving treatment takes place.
And I believe he still loves his motorbike to this day.
Well, I met Jordan in hospital in his recovery phase, and I made a joke to Mum and Dad about, you know, the motorbike and how much they would get for it on eBay when they sold it. And I didn't realise that Jordan didn't appreciate that humour. And when he visited our base several months later, completely recovered, he made a lovely card for us, thanking us. And on the back of the card was a photograph of him on his new motorbike in all his protective equipment. And as he handed it to me, he turned it over so I could see that image and said, "And by the way, we won't be selling the motorbike either, Tiger." So, you know, what a wonderful... And, you know, I got to see him at the launch the other day, and he reminds me so much of Ginger Meggs. He's a ripping young kid with a cheeky smile, and he's a wonderful family. So, yeah, that's one of the cases that I'll remember for the rest of my life.
It's amazing. His mum must be beside herself watching him go on that motorbike every time. But
I agree, Gareth. That would be selling the motorbike. It was up to me.
Yeah, absolutely. There was one man who you rescued had fallen off a cliff, I believe, and he had over 50 bones broken and was in a very sick way. Can you tell us about that rescue?
Well, there's two men down at Cape Woolamai, and they were clearing box thorn off the cliff faces. They were abseiling down, and there was a problem with their roving system, and they fell about 100 feet onto rocks below. And that would be one of the more challenging cases I've done. We couldn't winch directly to them because they were in a crevice, and the risk would have been that if the cable made contact with the side of the wall, we might have brought some rocks down on top of them. So we winched into the water. Two paramedics winched into the water. We then swam into them and had to rescue them. And by the time we got them, the tide had risen. So they were, you know, really... In the end, they were actually, their heads were being held out of the water by their co-workers. So it was one of those jobs where everything that we did, something went wrong, or there was a new challenge, and we, you know, had to work really hard. But the beauty of that case was that there was probably 10 or 15 people involved, and every one of those people was tested, and they rose to the challenge. And I love that case because there were strangers involved, and, you know, people coming to the aid of other people and actually putting their lives on the line to help others. That's what's great about our, you know, the Victorian community.
There are cases that take a personal toll on you as well, because I guess you're dealing with people who are in real pain and distress. How does it affect you?
Well, I think there's many stresses in the job, and I think that if you're involved in the pointy end of ambulance, working on an ambulance helicopter, you get exposed to the most seriously injured people. And, you know, sometimes the outcomes are not what you would like, and without doubt there's a personal toll to be had. And I think that anyone who works within the air ambulance for any period of time will be most likely will suffer from post-traumatic stress disease. But we're very fortunate. We have a very close-knit people. We have a very caring culture within the people that we work with. Ambulance Victoria are very proactive about trying to do everything they can in terms of helping us with their mental health. And part of the process of writing the book was cathartic in its nature, and that process of writing it was very beneficial, and that's the message I want to send to people, that, you know, young paramedics, young emergency services workers, if you get into this industry, identify your vulnerabilities and act on them early, and, you know, have a structure, have a process in which you can help yourself, and keeping a journal or writing a book certainly was one that helped for me.
That's Darren Hodge. He's been a paramedic for over 30 years and 15 years working the helicopter as an intensive care helicopter paramedic. And what an amazing man, and really one of our society's heroes, going out and rescuing people who have their life on the line as well.
I would love to get stuck into that book.
He's going to send a copy, by the way, and we're going to give one away soon. But we'll pop that interview on our website at 3ba.com.au.